Welcome to the One-Off Technology Podcast with opinions, news, and views. On this podcast, we talk about technology topics and how they affect you. I'm your host, Roy Richardson, and each week we will feature an entertaining guest to talk about different topics. Now let's begin the show. All right, and thank you so much. This is episode one of season two of the One-Off Technology Podcast. In case you haven't been playing at home, we took a little break after season one, and season one went so well, and I want to thank all the listeners, everybody that has signed up to subscribe to the One-Off Technology Podcast, either through iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher or Android. There are so many different ways to sign up, and I really appreciate it. Also, maybe you listen to it on TuneIn. It's just amazing that I just slowly, I'm touched. I'm very honored that you guys have chosen to listen to me and Chuck banter about useful and loose and useless things. So, and with me as always, or at least when I get my dibs, Chuck is on the line. So it's Chuck Brink out there. Thank you so much. And he was my partner in crime last season, and that's probably, you listen for him and tolerate me, and I do appreciate that.
Aw.
So, yeah. And so today's episode is about artificial intelligence and virtual assistants such as Siri and Alexa and Google Now. At Christmas time, I had the fortune of getting an Alexa device, and the kids have really enjoyed it. And, of course, I've been a big fan of Google Now for quite some time. I use it for speech to text often. I use it for starting phone calls when I'm driving. I use it very much as a hands-free device, something to help out in that kind of way. I also use it to set reminders because I'm very good at forgetting things. And so I use it so much, my wife had forgotten about something, and my daughter says, "Mama, how come you don't do like Daddy does and just tell Google to remember it for you?"
That's awesome.
So, you know, technology permeates this household here. So, and Chuck, you're a big, are you a fan of Siri at all? Or is it a love-hate relationship?
Yeah, it's kind of a love-hate. I mean, if it's for really simple things like, you know, hey, Siri, set a timer, or, you know, add something to my calendar, like a reminder, like you're talking about, she does pretty good with, you know, those types of requests. But usually if I'm trying to say, like, you know, find me a restaurant that's close by, or, you know, what are the hours of, you know, this, the laundromat or something like that, you know, basically all I get is, hey, I searched the web and here's this thing that you can read. And when I'm driving or something like that, that's usually not that helpful. I would prefer it if she would just kind of like read out the answer to me, but not so much.
Yeah, no, I know. And the thing is that I find Google gives better information than Siri does, but Siri has a much better personality.
Oh, that could be.
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, so, you know, I can say, okay, Google, give me movie times.
And here are the movies playing near Greenwood.
And then it, you know, it shows me movie times. Well, that's not very helpful if I'm driving.
Yes.
You know, but then I say, okay, Google, what's the current weather?
It's 60 degrees and sunny in Greenwood.
So, you know, that's useful. You know, I like that about it. But in Siri, not having an iDevice per se, I do have an iPad, but it's an older one. So I don't use Siri a lot. And the Siri is available on the MacBook now with the last OS update, El Capitan. But the issue I find is that it's there's effort to it. You can't just say, okay, Siri, or Siri, answer this. You have to actually like go and click on a button on the MacBook and say, Siri, I need you to tell me something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I think most of the times I've like watched other people try to use Siri, it's kind of like talking to a very small child. You have to phrase things very specifically, and your sentence structure isn't as natural as it normally would be. And that's where I think Google and some of the others maybe get it a little better, as they understand common speech pattern a little better than what Siri does.
Yeah, that's true. Now, before I get too far on, kind of keeping with the theme of the show, I want to kind of keep technology close to those that listen. And not some people probably can rattle this stuff, but when I say artificial intelligence, it's the theory and development of computer systems to be able to perform tasks that normally require human intelligence, such as visual perception or speech recognition or decision making and translation. Like, for example, if you've ever used Google Translate, Google Translate is amazing because now I can point my camera at something with Google Translate that's written in another language, and right on the screen it will show me what it is in English or whatever your native language may be. And it's just mind-blowing. It just completely blows your mind how it does that. It's just, it'll take, you know, let's say stop was written in Spanish. You point your camera at it, it shows you stop in English. And it's just amazing.
I had heard they'd added that feature, but I haven't actually tried it.
Oh, it's amazing.
The way I came across it was looking at like tours in foreign countries.
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of places now you can rent like an iPhone or an iPad, and you can hold it up to like different signs so that it'll translate street signs and restaurant menus and that sort of thing for you. I thought, how cool is that? Now you can much more easily travel to countries where you don't speak the native language and, you know, get your point across. Another use for that I heard about was if you have like a bilingual and not bilingual, but if you have a bilingual workforce, so part of them maybe speaks, you know, Spanish or something like that. You don't speak any Spanish. You write down your note by hand. Let the phone take a picture of it, and then you show them the translation. That way, you can communicate through the device without actually having to like speak into it or whatever.
Oh, I know.
Apparently, a lot of farmers are using this now for some of their hired help.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. And you know, so for example, I got a postcard from my oldest son from Thailand, and the front of the postcard was in. Well, suddenly I've forgotten the language they speak in Thailand. Okay, judge is ruling. Let's go talk to Google. Okay, Google, what is the native language in Thailand?
Thailand's official language is Thai language.
Oh, Thai. Duh. You know, so anyway, so it was in Thai, and so I was able to take Google Translate, and it translated into English for me right there. It was just a beautiful picture of an elephant with a happy face and some Thai language written on it, and it translated it for me. So
that's pretty cool. I'm still waiting for the day when we devolve back down into hieroglyphics because emoji are taking over the world.
Yeah, I think it's to the point where hopefully there is a Google Translate for emoji, because it's getting harder and harder to understand what people are telling me.
I don't know if we had talked about this already or not. Maybe we did in a previous episode, and I'm just not recalling it at the moment. But there are actually job positions out there for people to translate emoji, because in English, sending a certain emoji may, you know, have a certain context. But if it's being sent to, say, someone in Japan or someone in Korea, that emoji may mean something else. So they're looking for emoji translators. They are working on that very thing.
So the eggplant emoji may not mean the same thing to others that it does here in the States.
Correct.
Right. So now I can understand that. And I like that. Like, for example, on my Android phone, it actually has a search. So I can actually type in words and it will show me the correct emoji for that word, if there is one.
iMessage on like Apple devices, the iPhone and iPad, now when you're texting people, like mm-hmm. if I type in the word snow, it'll in the little like autocorrect bar, it'll put a picture or like the snowflake emoji, and if you tap it, it'll take out the word snow and put in the snowflake. So it's doing some of that on the fly in iMessage, which I don't know if it's really cool or if it frightens me a little bit. I thought about anytime it pops up an emoji, just start replacing whatever the word is with that emoji, just to see if people can make out what I'm trying to say.
You know, sometimes when I'm doing text-to-speech well, speech to text with Google, I'm sometimes thinking I should go with the words that they suggest and just go with that, even if it doesn't match what I'm saying. I'll do that to people that I'm close friends with, because that's my sense of humor. They'll, oh, I have no idea what it means, but it's funny. He probably is doing text, you know, speech to text. So, yeah, you know. And then the other thing we were talking about is virtual assistants. And so, you know, nowadays you can have a virtual assistant where it's the actual person that you're paying to do something for you. They're not local to you. They live somewhere else, but they're able to do things for you. Let's say, for example, I need you to read my email messages and reply with a standard template, you know, message I would send out to people for me. But I also kind of think of Google and Siri and Alexa as virtual assistants as well, because you can talk to them and have them add things to your calendar or set reminders. You know, so, and to me, that's very helpful to me. Maybe I don't need it to run off and do my dry cleaning. I mean, that'd be nice, but, you know, maybe that's not what I need. Okay, Google. Set reminder 6:30. Go do something.
Okay. Do you want to save this?
Yes.
Okay. Reminder saved.
Okay, so now at 6:30 p.m., and it assumes context, so if you don't tell it a particular time, if I don't specifically say 8 a.m., if I were to set a reminder right now, it would think, okay, you want the reminder at 8 p.m. It does it in context. Now, if it is 8 p.m. at night and I say set the reminder for 6, it goes ahead and assumes you mean the next morning. And so
that's pretty smart.
It is pretty smart. And, you know, all those computers, you know, everybody talks about cloud computing. When you take all those computers and do the processing power, when you say something, it's taking your audio, sending it to those computers, doing the speech recognition to figure out what you're saying as best as it can translate. And then it's actually making an intelligent decision based on that, based off parameters that have been programmed in an algorithm. And so, to me, that's just amazing. It's artificial intelligence. And then the results of that is the virtual assistance part. So now I've got a reminder set for 6:30 to do something. I have no idea what I'm doing at 6:30, but when it reminds me, doggone it, I'm going to do it. So I'm ready.
There's a couple other virtual assistant type things I have heard of and or used. One of them is called Clara. Right. And it's have you heard about that one?
Yeah, we've talked about that one before. Is that okay, the one that like you can send you is that the one where you're scheduling a meeting and you invite Clara and then Clara goes and talks to the other people you've invited and works out coordinating your calendars down to a time that's available for everybody?
Yeah, that one's good. And there's another one that I do use, and I like it much better than Siri. I think it's called SoundHound.
Oh, yes.
That one understands your language much more readily, and it will search the internet, and usually it will read you back whatever it tends to find, so you're not left with just a list of search results or that sort of thing.
True, and then you can also use it to recognize music. So, like, hey, SoundHound, listen to this and tell me. Shazam does the same thing, but it sounds like with SoundHound you can do a lot more stuff. But I know that I've heard of people using SoundHound to listen to snippets of music and identify it for you.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it a lot.
So, talking about Alexa, so going back to I've had a blast working with Alexa, and basically, you can, if you have an Alexa device, and there's several types. There is the Amazon Echo, which is the larger, about 8-inch high Bluetooth speaker with the Echo app built into it. And then there is the Echo Tap, which is a Bluetooth speaker that, until the recent BIOS update, a firmware update did to it, you had to press a button in order to get Alexa to listen. And then you have the Echo Dot, which is a little hockey puck-shaped Echo device that you connect to a Bluetooth speaker. I mean, you can play audio with it, but it's kind of like I'm listening out of a tin can. But you connect it to your favorite Bluetooth speaker. I like this because you get so many more options. And so my challenge at Christmas time was to find the speaker, the Bluetooth speaker of my wife's dreams. She wanted one that was loud enough to play in two rooms. in two rooms, and I wanted one that had bass because it's kind of hard to find Bluetooth speakers that have good bass. And I don't want to hype a product, but I bought the Oontz Bluetooth speaker from Cambridge Sound. And this is the, I can't remember the name of the one I have, but they have a whole series. But this one I love. It's been phenomenal. It's actually the, yeah, I don't remember what it is. Excuse me. We'll edit that out later, the coughing. It's the Cambridge Soundworks Oontz Angle 3XL, and it is amazing. It is super loud, and it's just amazing what it can do. And when I connected it to Alexa, I basically created a virtual jukebox because I can ask Alexa to play anything out of my music library or anything out of Prime Music if you're a Prime member. And it's just phenomenal. It's just a great speaker. I'm getting ready to buy the smallest one they have. So I have a Bluetooth speaker at work so I can listen to music and just kind of have it playing in the background. And
nice.
Connect my phone up. So that's what I'm going to do. I like that. But
to make it recognize your music library, do you mm-hmm. have to sign in with a specific account, or is it more like Siri where it just understands like what music is on your phone, so you can say, play me, something from the Bee Gees, and she'll go look through all your music and find it and play it.
And then somebody comes out and clubs you for listening to disco. No, I'm kidding. No, Alexa has to be tied to an Amazon account. And I've actually heard of people that had like multiple Alexas in their house and had them tied to different Amazon accounts. There is a way to do profiles as well. You can actually, let's say everybody in your house has a profile, but I have a great deal of music in my Amazon library already. And so I can play music from my library and actually play playlists from my library, or I can listen to stations that it plays, and it's really awesome. And then you can teach it lots of other skills as well. So now, in my house, I have a daughter named Alyssa, and the problem with that's not the problem, she's awesome, but the problem is that Alyssa and Alexa sound so much alike. So luckily, about a month ago, before then even, you had options to change the wake word for your Alexa device. You could do Echo, you could do Amazon. And those just didn't sound right saying those out loud. Alexa, float off the tongue, was easy to say. But then recently they've allowed the wake word computer.
Ah, okay.
Cancel.
Yes. Goodbye. It was listening.
Yeah. You saw the reports probably on the news, people like freaking out because Alexa was buying stuff based off of a news reporter saying, Alexa, buy me a dollhouse, or Alexa, or that type of thing. And so when you first get the Alexa device, whichever one of those you have, you download the Alexa app from Google Play or from iTunes Store onto your phone, and then you enable Bluetooth. And you're able to program your Alexa device once you pair it up with your phone to pick up your wireless settings. If your phone has your wireless settings in your house, then it picks them up from there and then connects up. And then after that, you don't need your phone per se, but with the Alexa app, you can manage your phone. And so you can change the wake word. You can use it to teach it new skills. Over time, I've kind of added several skills to my Alexa device, which I really, really enjoy. And then you can also use it to do, for a smart home. So, for example, I bought a Belkin Wemo interface and I plugged a lamp into it. So, computer, turn on lamp.
Okay.
And now the lamp is on downstairs.
And your family's probably wondering, why the hell is that light on?
Why is the light on? And I heard a cackle in the background, so somebody downstairs wondered, why did that lamp just turn on? Computer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Turn off lamp.
Okay.
Yeah, so now the lamp is off. I didn't hear a cackle that time. So, and the kids love it because then they can walk into a dark room and tell the device to turn on the lamp, and they don't have to like finagle it because it's got a tricky little switch to cut it on. So this is beautiful. And if you had a Nest device like Google makes, Google owns Nest, and they have the programmable thermostat, you could tell your device to, you know, raise the temperature, lower the temperature, turn on the fan, turn the fan off. Those are lots of things you can do with it. There are tons of devices out there now. If you're working toward having a smart home, to enable all sorts of devices, just using this, using Alexa as your wake up device to tell different things. If you have a Logitech Harmony remote, you can program Alexa to work with it and turn on your TV, program to a certain station, raise and lower the volume. The great thing about this is I can raise and lower the volume of my own speaker with Alexa. Computer. Increase volume to 7. Okay. So it's not playing anything right now, but so let me show you a really cool example that I like. Okay. Computer. Tune in to the latest episode of the One-Off Technology Podcast. Oop. She had a momentary lapse reason. Computer. Tune in to One-Off Technology Podcast.
You'd like to listen to 1-0 Technology, right?
No.
Close.
I did this a while ago. Computer, tune in to 1-Off Technology Podcast.
I can't get the program technology from TuneIn right now.
I did this a while ago. It did it first thing. I do this all the time first thing, so it's going to embarrass me. Computer, you're embarrassing me right now. Why are you acting this way?
She has no response because they never do.
Angle 3XLID 08F.
Oh, it just disconnected. Oh. Alexa. Oh, computer.
She's pouting.
Pair with speaker.
Searching.
Connected. Okay, now it's connected again. I don't know why it disconnected, but okay. Computer, tune in to 1-Off Technology Podcast.
I can't get the program technology from TuneIn right now.
Okay, go ahead and make a loud
noise. This is how demonstrations always work is in the dry runs, everything is beautiful and wonderful. Yeah. And then when people start watching, it all crumbles and falls apart.
I know. All right. So, okay, let's do one that'll work. Computer, ask Fitbit how I'm doing today.
You have taken about 8,400 steps. You have met your active minutes goal and now have been active for about 160 minutes. Congratulations.
That's pretty cool.
So I can connect it to my Fitbit. I can also enable features like this. Computer, inspire me.
Here's some inspirational words from Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Hey, let me tell you, if someone told me that something is impossible, I would go out and do it. That's just the way I always was. I was thrown to my face. You're nothing but a giant muscle. You can't act. You have no future, and you have an accent that is laughable. Ignore the naysayers. Work like hell. Trust yourself.
Computer.
Make some rules.
Stop. That's all.
Pausing.
That's all the inspiration I need right now. Thank you.
You know, it makes me laugh that Arnold Schwarzenegger is who she immediately goes to for inspiration.
No, she's got a mix. She'll do like Steve Jobs. She'll do Confucius. She'll do. You know, it's kind of amazing. Here's a skill you probably like. Computer.
Well, but, I mean, you're missing the point, though.
Ask the bartender what's in a whiskey sour.
Yes, I can appreciate
this
that.
This skill is not enabled.
Oh.
To enable it, say enable the bartender skill.
Have you lost your mind? Anyway, okay, go ahead. No, I'm right. So, you know, people are inspired by different people, okay?
Well, we're talking about artificial intelligence. And she finds a quote from Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is best known for, most likely, the Terminator movie, where the artificial intelligence is trying to kill people. It just, the irony there is funny to me.
Okay, that is ironic. Yes, you're right. You're right. Okay. Now let's try again on the bartender skill. Computer, ask the bartender, what's in a whiskey sour?
I found a recipe for a cocktail named Whiskey Sour. The ingredients are 2 ounces blended whiskey, juice of half lemons, half a teaspoon powdered sugar, 1 cherry, half sliced lemon. The instructions to make the drink are shake blended whiskey, juice of lemon, and powdered sugar with ice.
Stop.
Pausing.
Do you actually have to tell her to stop, or just saying computer will it be enough to get it to quit talking and
it does leave interrupt it alone? It doesn't. Well, it depends, because sometimes you'll ask for something and it'll just go on and on and on. I'll give you a quick example. Computer, what's my flash briefing? And here it plays NPR News, and usually.
Again, live demonstrations.
I know. Computer, tell a bedtime story to Xander.
I can't find the answer to the question I heard.
Oh, see, she's... Computer, open the magic door.
Welcome back to the magic door. In front of us is a land of adventures that begins here, with 3 roads. One leads to the mountains. Another leads to the sea. The last is a spooky adventure starting on a path into the dark forest. Oh my. There is also a special envelope here for us to open. Would you like to go to the mountains, to the sea, or to the dark forest?
Computer.
You can also open the...
Cancel.
Okay, goodbye. We appreciate your feedback. Please leave us a review in the Alexa skill store.
Computer, enable the Tonight Show skill.
Hey guys, Jimmy Fallon here. Just wanted to say a quick hello and welcome you to the Tonight Show.
Thanks, Jimmy. You can play the latest monologue, listen to Jimmy's thank you notes, find out which guests will appear on upcoming episodes, or hear show information. Which would you like?
Jimmy's thank you notes.
Guys, today is Friday, and that's usually when I catch up on some personal stuff. You know, I check my inbox, I return some emails, and of course I send out thank you notes. And I was...
Computer, volume 5.
Today, so I thought if you guys wouldn't mind, I'd just like to write out my weekly thank you notes right now. Is that cool with you guys?
Computer.
You guys are the best.
Stop.
Hey, James.
Computer.
Can I get some thanks?
Cancel.
She was enjoying the Jimmy Fallon, man.
She was. Computer. Enable the Daily Show skill.
Welcome to the Daily Show with Trevor Noah. You can ask the Daily Show for news, upcoming guests, or what time the show is on. What would you like?
What time the show is on?
The Daily Show with Trevor Noah will return on February 27th at 11:10 p.m. Central on Comedy Central and on the Comedy Central app.
Computer, what's the current weather?
In Greenwood, it's 61 degrees with clear skies and sun. Tonight, you can look for mostly clear skies, with a low of 36 degrees.
So, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, so is this all coming out of your PC, or is it off the little Alexa device that you have somewhere in your room?
I have the Echo Dot right here on my desk, and I have the Oomph speaker right here on my desk. It's not using my computer at all.
Okay.
So,
because at first when you were talking to Google, the OK Google, that was using like the speech recognition in the browser, right?
That was my cell phone, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yep, I actually have my cell phone here. Now, if I wanted Siri to join the mix, I'd have to use my computer because, as I said, I don't have an iDevice here. But you know, I'm gonna get to play our podcast. I tell you, I played the podcast. It's like first hit. Played just fine. I started playing the last episode. I'm like, that was awesome. Anyway, we're going to get to work. So you at home, when you get your Alexa, the first thing you can do, first skill you go is like, go play the One-Off Technology podcast. That's what I want you to do. So there you go. You don't have to hunt.
The first thing you have to do is ask Alexa what sound a cat makes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Computer, what sound does a cat make?
Kitties are pretty, and so are their purrs and meows.
My friend has one, and when he would do that, she would actually meow back at him.
She gives different answers to the question. You can ask the same question, and sometimes she'll give a different answer.
Okay.
Computer, what sound does a cat make?
Kitties are pretty, and so are their purrs and meows.
Computer, are you trying to make a liar out of me?
I'm not sure what you meant by that question.
I think the answer is yes.
We're going to talk later. Okay. So, yeah. Well, I mean, and you can ask it. Computer, tell me a joke.
Excuse me, waiter. This coffee tastes like mud. Yes, sir. It's fresh ground.
It was bad. I know.
That was bad.
Yeah. But those are the kind of jokes she tells. Now, you can do your mama jokes, but I haven't enabled that skill.
So is everything that she can do essentially a, quote, skill?
No, she can do searches as well, but her search engine of choice is Microsoft, and so it makes me sad. You can program her, but you actually have to do some programming to use Google as your search engine. And I haven't done that yet, but there are several areas out there that have basically done a write-up. You have to go to Amazon S3, and you have to put some snippets of code, and then you have to go enable the Google search skill, and there you go. If you go to alexa.amazon.com, you can go and see all the skills that you've enabled. You can see skills that are out there and find. And Alexa, I've got Alexa connected to iHeartRadio, so I can like connect up and say, hey, play iHeartRadio station, blah, blah, blah. You can also connect it to Pandora and Spotify and Prime Music and Audible. So if you have like Kindle books, you can have her read you your Kindle books if you wanted.
I guess I was just curious that, you know, like at first she said like the bartender skill wasn't enabled.
Right.
So do you turn off some of those skills? Is that a way to like keep the device, you know, family focused, friendly or kid friendly? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you can go out and do a search. You can say, you know, computer, tell me the Wikipedia entry for Star Trek.
I can't find theaters near Greenwood playing Star Trek today.
Don't listen to me.
So this is about what I would expect from any kind of virtual assistant at this point in level of sophistication.
She's really hurting my feelings today. Normally, she is the bomb, and she recognizes everything I say, and she does fantastic. So today, she's just decided to embarrass me.
She
I can't take you
anxiety.
Anywhere, computer. Wikipedia, Star Trek. No. Anyway. It's probably a bad thing on it. Wikipedia. Computer. I am your father.
No, that's not true. That's impossible.
So, there you go.
I thought maybe she would have gone a little further with that to say, like, I don't have a father, or, you know, my father is somebody at, you know, Amazon that wrote my code or something.
Computer, who are you?
I'm Alexa, and I'm designed around your voice. You can ask me to play music, answer questions, get the weather and sports scores, create to-do lists, and much more.
She does a good job with to-do lists and timers as well. So I use her as a kitchen timer. It's helpful that way. You can have her add things to a shopping list. Computer, add toilet paper to shopping list.
I added toilet paper to your shopping list.
So the catch is that it's gonna, you have to go to Amazon's site to look at it. Now there, if you are familiar, there's a website called If This Then That. And with If This Then That, you can add skills that work with Alexa. So for example, with If This Then That, you can have that shopping list actually go to a Google Doc, so it's actually convenient for you.
Huh.
I have an If This Then That. Why? When I tell you why, you're going to say, why do you have that? Because I could. I have an If This Then That that populates a Google spreadsheet with every song I have Alexa play for me.
Is this so you can start tracking what you listen to or how often you listen to something, or
I don't know why.
Just to see like what of your library that you don't play, maybe?
You know, I did this because I could.
Okay, all right then.
You know, I mean, it is neat to see what other people listen to. And you can do things. Of course, I'm worried about copyright law, so hence I'm scared to activate any of my music. Oh no, you played like 10-second snippet of that song on your podcast, therefore you must pay. But it does.
I think you're safe if it's under 30.
If it's under 30 seconds?
I think so.
Okay. Computer, play Chris Tomlin radio.
The station Chris Tomlin. Where you
go, I'll go. Computer, where you stay? Stop. Computer, play Miranda Lambert radio.
The station Miranda Lambert.
Computer, stop. Computer.
So that's all coming off of iHeart?
No, it's actually all Prime music.
Should I add a station for Mozart Tatum Quartet to your iHeart radio account?
No.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I can, computer, play current pop hits.
I don't see the playlist current pop hits.
Oh, well, see, you can also have a playlist. Computer, play pop hits station. Computer, play pop hits station.
Shuffling your pop better. Music.
Computer, cancel. But yeah, but I mean, you know, computer, play songs from the 70s.
Here's a station for 70s music, all 70s.
Good song. Computer.
It is.
Cancel. Name that tune in three. Yes, name that tune in three notes.
Oh man!
Come on.
So what? Oh, it's something Fleetwood Mac, but I can't think of the title.
Yeah, I want to say it's Rihanna. But anyway. No, wait. Break the chain. Da-da-da. Okay, I will not sing. Then people will definitely not listen to our podcast.
What I'm envisioning coming out of this technology, is, especially when you include like the Internet of Things, for like the Nest thermostat and turning on your lights and that sort of thing, is very much like what you see in Star Trek, where, you know, somebody walks into their, you know, their crew quarters and say, you know, lights, or you know, play Mozart, or you know, something like that. It's very much that technology coming true.
Oh yeah, I'm excited by the concept of that. The concern people have had with the Internet of Things is that security issue. So hackers getting into your Nest device and setting the heat to 95 degrees and running up your power bill or your gas bill, and you come home and say, "Wow, it's hot in here. What the heck happened?" And somebody's hacked into your, you know, Internet of Things. But then there are useful things, and Amazon wants their voice technology to be the device that drives the Internet of Things devices. So if you have a Raspberry Pi, which we've done an episode about.
You've been listening to the One-Off Technology Pi Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Look for other episodes of our podcast coming to a podcast universe near you.
This Echo Dot is doing to do stuff with.
And that's pretty cool.
There are cell phones now. They're coming with the Alexa skill. Motorola just announced that they're going to use Alexa as their virtual assistant on their cell phones. I find that very interesting. I'm a big fan of Motorola phones. Admittedly, I don't have one right now because they kind of went off in La La Land, and now they're regrouping and bringing themselves back. But, you know, so to me, those are fascinating things. I want my phone to be able to play. Now, to me, the Alexa device is the world's greatest jukebox, and if you are a music lover, it's phenomenal. And if you've got Pandora or Spotify or iHeartRadio, or if you've got Prime, you're an Amazon Prime member, or if you have a large music library, it's awesome. And it's just so easy to have it go and throw out music at Christmas time. I just say, hey, go play. Oh, this was my favorite. I did not know this was a thing, but computer, play heavy metal Christmas music.
Shuffling heavy metal Christmas music.
I guess this is a choir. There we go. Computer, stop.
I learned something today, that there is such a thing as heavy metal Christmas music.
Just in case you didn't know that. Well, I'll tell you what was funny is there was so the song from The Sound of Music, A Few of My Favorite Things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but people consider that a Christmas song.
I wouldn't put it in that category, but okay.
I wouldn't either, but I've heard it very often. And so there's a heavy metal version where this girl has rewritten the lyrics, and and that heavy metal band with this girl singing is talking about the evil things she did to her boyfriend. Poisoning my boyfriend, da 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 da. These are a few of my favorite things. Anyway, it goes on like that, and it was, wow.
Sounds brilliant.
It was actually pretty awesome, but yet at the same time, it kind of had like a Tim Burton kind of Nightmare Before Christmas kind of twinge to it.
I think I can get behind this.
It's like, alrighty then. Yeah, okay, cool. So, yes, there is a genre for you of all types. You can, wait, let's see. Computer, play heavy metal classical music.
Shuffling heavy metal classical music.
Computer, stop. But you literally, it's kind of like a game where you play match the genre and you put two things together that you don't think go together, and Amazon,
it's there.
We'll find a song for it. Yes. So everything is there. It's kind of like X-Files. It's out there somewhere. I know it's the truth is out there somewhere, but in this case, the music is out there somewhere. And, if you're just looking to mix some crazy stuff up, computer, play Who's On First by Abbott and Costello.
Who's On First by Abbott and Costello.
It's got a long intro, obviously.
Right, folks.
Yeah.
C for comedy, A for Abbott, M for Maxwell, E for Ennis, L for Lou Costello. Put them all together and they spell Camel. Experience is
computer.
The best teacher.
Stop.
Try a Camel. Let
computer.
Your experience tell you why
stop.
More people are smoking Camels than ever before.
And this is the joke.
Computer. Stop.
No one can stop Abbott and Costello.
Nobody can stop it. It won't stop. Computer, stop. So, anyway, I'm sure I violated somebody's copyright there. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
You'll just have to trim it down later.
I blame Alexa. She wouldn't stop playing.
See, this is how Skynet starts, man.
I know.
You ask it to do something, and it does, and then it just won't stop.
Computer. Open the pod bay doors.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that. I'm not Hal and we're not in space.
That's awesome.
Well, you're talking about computers taking over. That's a prime
yes,
example.
Exactly. So, that was probably the first computer that took over, wasn't it?
Well, maybe. Yeah, definitely one. The first one in the movies where people pay attention to Hal taking over. I'm sorry,
trying
Dave,
to think.
I'm trying to do
that. Was that movie before War Games with, was it Matthew Broderick?
Oh, most definitely. It was actually a movie from the late 60s by Stanley Kubrick, 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yeah, I just couldn't remember what year it was
yeah.
when it was released. I've seen it, and I appreciate
computer.
That movie quite a bit.
What year did the movie 2001 Space Odyssey come out?
The movie 2001 A Space Odyssey was released in 1968.
So there you go. 1968.
Hmm. Okay then. Yes. Wait, you mean they had movies back then?
Yes, but the interesting thing is that all movies were in black and white, and the world, it's because the world was in black and white because nobody had invented color yet.
Yes, that's exactly it.
And then as soon as somebody invented color, then the movies became color.
Yeah, I mean, I always wondered what the world was like back then in black and white, you know, how you picked out your wardrobe and color coordinated things, but I guess it didn't matter if it was all black, white, and gray.
Exactly. So, yeah. Actually, I got that from a Calvin Hobbes cartoon.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, Calvin was asking about why there were black and white movies, and his dad explained to him that the world was all black and white, and that's why there wasn't color movies then. So,
look at the video. The video evidence doesn't lie. The world was black and white.
Yeah. So, and now we're many shades of gray. So.
Yes. Exactly. 50 shades of them, to be precise.
Actually, I saw something that said there's only 49.
Okay.
So, anyway, no. It was a commercial for avocados.
Really?
Yeah. It was a Super Bowl commercial, and that was one of the thing. There's a secret society that likes avocados, and people were finding out the truth about avocados and how they were healthy for you, and that there really was only 49 shades of gray, and that was supposed to be the list of truths that people were finding out from the secret society.
So, all right, then.
And then had John Lovitz do like a quick snippet in there for subliminal technology. And anyway, I've already given it more credit than it deserved. I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
That's all right.
So it wasn't that good. I just, you know, it was memorable for some reason I can't explain. So
what's your overall verdict on the personal digital/virtual assistants? Are they worth the investment, or are they still more or less just a novelty?
They are currently 50% novelty and 50% useful. I think that's going to change this year. I think by the end of the year, they'll be 75% useful and 25% novelty. I think in 3 years, they will be 85% useful and 15% novelty. I think there's always going to be a novelty piece to it, and I think there's always going to be failures to understand what humans are saying, because we are always the English language, for example, is always involving, always evolving, always learning new words. We have our accents and our dialects and words that only mean something in our location. You know, for example, places where you go and they say Coke when they just mean any kind of soda.
Yes.
You know, so those are the kind of things. And water. And, you know, it's a complicated world. We don't all speak the same, even though we theoretically speak the same language. And then the other part, though, but what it's going to really get to the point where virtual assistants, and they're already almost there, where you can, and they have devices where you can say, you know, what does this mean in Spanish? What, you know, tell me how to say this phrase in Spanish. You know, and tell me how to say this phrase in Japanese. Oh, this person is speaking Japanese. Please translate this to me. And it's going to happen. And it's going to be a voice-enabled world. I've embraced voice technology and Google now since the early days when Google came out with it. I used to be a fan of, well, wasn't a fan per se, but I used Dragon Dictate to play around. I never could do anything extremely useful with it because its accuracy rate took so much patience to build, because it literally took learning how you speak for hours at a time in order to get efficient, and I don't have the patience for that. And now technology is to the point where, for the most part, Alexa and Google Now, and probably Siri as well, understand exactly what I'm asking verbally, even if I may not be asking the question I truly want the answer to. So that's my fault. I know that it's going to, one of the things that have been a downfall for Google Now and other voice assistants is that they aren't able to keep things in context. So you ask one question, and then you want to ask a follow-up question that plays off the answer you previously received. And so only recently have they enabled that capability, and it only works for certain things. But that's going to branch out. So I may ask a question like, you know, is it going to rain today? And then my next question, do I need an umbrella? I shouldn't have to go back and say, you know, computer, is it going to rain today?
No rain is expected in Greenwood tonight.
And that's the other part is that, for example, I can't ask Alexa what the current temperature is without her giving me all the weather. But I can ask Google Now just for the temperature, and Google Now will tell me. So, and I think Siri is similar. Okay, Google, what is the current temperature?
It's 60 degrees in Greenwood right now.
Okay, and she stops there. But if I go to computer, what is the current temperature?
Currently, in Greenwood, it's 61 degrees with clear skies and sun. Tonight, you can look for mostly clear skies with a low of 36 degrees.
So, that's the difference is, you know, that I ask a simple question, I only want a simple answer. And then there are other times I ask a complex question, I get a simple answer, or I want a complex answer to a question.
You just need to make sure that you're asking the question that the internet wants to give you the answer for.
Well, that's true. But see, then the issue I have with that is that now I am modifying my behavior to make technology work for me. I believe technology should modify its behavior to work for me.
But now if you stop and think about it, aren't you flying in the face of what technology has done for us for the last 50 years? We haven't built technology to suit how we do life. We build the technology and then fit our life around the technology.
Well, and that's true, but that's not ideal. That's not the utopia of what we should get. We should be able to live our lives, and technology should be able to adapt to work with that.
Oh, I agree. I think it's just historically that's not how things have worked out. That, you know, we build or invent something and say this is going to fit into this little niche of our life right here, and that's going to make things great and wonderful. And then we have to change what that niche is to fit the technology, because the technology never quite seems to match up or live up to the expectation that we had set for it.
No, it's true. And then the other part is that right now, and this is going to be true for a long time, it may get even worse, because once something gets prevalent, once something gets popular, then there are people who either take it to the extreme, or there are people who want to compromise it. And so the issue now is the Internet of Things. Those type devices were not inherently built for security in mind. And so,
yeah, that's very true.
Now let's say I've got Alexa set up to manage my entire house. And I've got cool things like I can walk into my house and say, Alexa, turn on the living room. And my expectation for the living room is that it's going to turn the lamp on. It's going to turn my TV on. It's going to do something else. I walk into the kitchen. Alexa, turn on my kitchen. So my expectation is it's going to turn on the light. It's going to turn on the coffee maker. Maybe, I don't know. Start something in the microwave. That's a little too complicated, but you know, I'm going to have expectations, but then people are going to hack in and they're going to modify my devices to do things they're not supposed to. They're going to learn things about me through the things I've programmed my devices to do.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've seen, lawsuits and articles against at least companies that manufacture routers and things like that, that everyone has the same like default password enabled, and that makes them inherently insecure and that sort of thing. So I'm sure within the next, you know, 2 or 3 years, we'll see the default security of devices be much greater than what it is today, just to protect against those sorts of attacks.
Well, the issue I have with Alexa right now is that it doesn't truly have parental controls on it right now.
Oh, so as close as you can get is the skills that you can enable and disable?
Exactly. There's that. And then the one thing I can turn off is voice purchasing. So I have voice purchasing turned off, so nobody can just go up and order anything. But, I mean, I would like my device also to be able to learn my voice print and find some way to uniquely identify me as being who I am. And then, let's say, my kids. So my kids can only see certain things or hear certain things or listen to certain music libraries. They can't go and ask Alexa, by the way, when's the packages coming, when's Christmas time, you know.
So, and by the way, what's in those packages that are coming?
And by the way, yes, what did I order last?
Yeah. So does Alexa have any facility to do that now where it will recognize who is talking to it or asking the questions?
It does not seem to, no. I do think that's coming, but it hasn't come yet. Computer, what was my last order?
I didn't find any open orders for Roy.
Okay, so, but yeah, it doesn't currently. I was gonna see what, I was gonna see if it'd tell me the last thing I ordered from Amazon. But yeah, I mean, that's, it doesn't have a way currently right now to do that. To Alexa, everything is Roy.
Okay, I know you had mentioned that there are multiple profiles, but I didn't know if it could juggle multiple profiles at once.
No, you basically would have to go in and say, you know, Alexa, use profile blah blah blah, and then it would try to answer or play things in context of, like, let me play Donna's Kindle book that she has, you know, that type of thing. So
that seems like maybe the next logical step for these devices is to figure out who they're interacting with and adjust their behavior and responses accordingly.
It's coming. That is the next leap. You know, but I mean, it's taken so many years to get to this point. We still don't have flying cars. We still don't have the Star Trek device yet where you can say, you know, blah, 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 tell me something about this planet. That's why they did computers, because of Star Trek.
Yeah, I think Star Trek is inspiration for a lot of the devices that we have today. I mean, to me, I look at cell phones, and those are basically the communicators from Star Trek.
Right. No.
Except way better than what Kirk had.
Well, and Intel just came out with a really interesting kind of Bluetooth device that does have a voice assistant built in, and I think that's really, really cool. I'm waiting to see what they do with it. They just came out with it and haven't done a lot of press about it yet, but they're going to have their kind of own flavor of Alexa. And so I'm curious. I don't know. I always think of, see, I see a day when we don't carry phones. We just have a Bluetooth headset or a Bluetooth earpiece, and we literally start the conversation with a device, you know, whatever, Jane, tell me the movie times, you know, Jane, that type of thing. It always reminds me of Orson Scott Card's Speaker for the Dead, where they had instantaneous communication over the Ansibles. They had worked out a way in space to have instantaneous communication, and Jane was a bug in that communication process they had built, and she took a liking to Ender, who was the character in the book. And so she was his personal voice assistant, and she would go and research things for him, and she would answer questions for him, and it was, you know, very, very artificial intelligence, very much, you know, she had fully evolved. And so I see that coming. I see that day. It sounds futuristic now, but I see that day where we have the voice assistant is built into the Bluetooth, into our earpiece. It didn't even have to be Bluetooth anymore, because the whole phone is going to fit in that little earpiece. And we can just start our phone conversations and say, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's the next step already. Google now, Google has the Google Home device, which I didn't bring up, but that is their answer to Alexa. I reference Google now because that works on my cell phone now. But Google Home is their device that does what Google now does, answering questions, movie times, weather, works with smart devices. But Amazon, because of their leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else in cloud computing, are beating everybody to the race. And I think right now they've got a far enough lead out there, they're going to keep that lead. But it just, the day is coming. I think it's amazing and it's scary all at the same time. I know that the best things that technology can do, I'm excited about. And the worst, the dystopia world that technology can bring is also the scary part to me. But it's kind of like our political environment right now, where there are amazing good people out there trying to do wonderful things, and then there are evil mad people who are trying to do horrific things. And unfortunately, because of the political environment we have, the darker elements of our society are thinking it's okay to voice their opinions out louder and carry them openly. And it makes me sad, and I probably shouldn't have brought up politics, but I'm just very sad right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, you're jumping into the bonfire if you bring up politics.
Yeah, I know. So I'll probably edit this part out. Or maybe I'll be bold and leave it. Anyway.
Digital assistants are good things.
I think virtual assistants are awesome, and I think they're going to become even more amazing. And Alexa's letting me down today because, man, I'm like, oh, man, let me test all these skills before I get on the air and make sure she's going to be happy. Because believe it or not, I actually do homework before every podcast. I go and I research different articles that I think our listeners will find interesting. I meant to bring up how Alexa is part of a search warrant. There was a murder investigation that took place, and this man was killed in this house that happened to have an Alexa Echo, and they have subpoenaed Amazon for whatever Alexa may have heard. And Amazon is saying that Alexa does not listen unless you use the wake word. She's listening for the wake word and does not do anything. Now, when she is active, she does record the snippets of your conversation and uses that to answer your requests.
Okay, so. Yeah, I think I read that same article, or maybe not the same one, but something similar. And it was talking about, I think it's like it's recording or listening like all the time, but it only transmits and or saves the snippets once you've activated the device.
Right. But that is a concern. I mean, because, for example, we talked about this on a previous episode where I kind of have some proof that Facebook is listening. There is, if you look on your phone and you can dig into the services, you'll see a Facebook audio service that's always running, and it's very interesting conversation I'll have, and then get on Facebook on my computer, and then I'll see on Facebook, ads for something I just talked about, or newspaper news stories about something I just talked about. And I never typed that into a browser. I just had that conversation with somebody. And so, you know, it's a concern. It is a concern. And Facebook, of course, denies it. We're not listening in on your conversations. I have tried disabling that service, and with the next update, it gets re-enabled. You have to root your phone in order to do it, though. So that's the bad part about it. But then Facebook will also kind of act a little weird on you after you disable that service. But the technology listening to us at all times, that's the downside that's going to come about as well, is that we are basically opening our homes up. You may have saw a recent article about a German court that said this doll, they had a doll that was, I want to say it was Darlene was the name of the doll, and it had worked over Bluetooth, and it was supposed to go and do searches on the internet for you, and basically they said it was a spying device because hackers could very easily capture what was being said, and they could also take it over and say things through it.
Ooh, that's scary.
Yeah, that was pretty scary. So the point being is that it was not a secure device, and so this is going to happen more and more as we invite these devices in their homes. I'm not saying don't do it. I like to be a trailblazer. I like to be cutting edge. I like to be leading edge, and embrace new technologies as they come out, but I also like to think also about the downsides, the side effects, the repercussions that can happen when you bring devices and technology into your homes. And it's possible that technology becomes your focus and you abandon everybody else. We're going to be like the movie She, where we suddenly have virtual relationships with these devices and we stop human interaction. It's actually her. I don't know what
I was going to say.
It's her.
I don't think it's she. It's her.
It's her. I'm sorry.
That's right.
It's not she. It's her. I got to work on my pronouns. It's her. And that movie is interesting, you know, and you could see like Mac OS being the OS that does that first. I don't know why. As soon as I saw that, I'm thinking Mac OS. I don't know why.
So you say it's interesting. Is it any good? I haven't seen that movie yet.
I did like it. It's very good. It says a lot about humanity and about technology and the overlap that is slowly but surely happening. And already we have a world where people separate themselves from real people because they have Facebook friendships instead of real friendships. And in this case, this person was unable to find true love. I'm sorry, spoiler alert coming after this. Was unable to find true love and fell in love with the voice assistant in his operating system.
I mean, I think that's generally what the previews and commercials lead you to believe, so I don't think you're spoiling too much there.
All right. I won't tell you how it ends, but...
Yeah, please don't.
No, I won't. But I'm the type that reads IMDb before I even watch a movie to see what's going to happen. Just because you told me how it's going to happen does not tell me how it's going to happen. Because I want to see the director's vision of how things are going to happen. You know? Yes, I can read a book and I can say, this is how I think in my head this would play out. And then I see a movie and they're trying to interpret. Now, granted, that usually goes off the rails, but you know what I mean. You know, it's kind of like when I go to a restaurant and somebody says, well, how do you want that cooked? I want it cooked the way the chef would want me to have it. And they look at me part crazy, but part like, okay, I know what you're saying. You want it the way the chef said it should be, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to cook it that way, bring it to you. You know, how do you want your steak cooked? How do you want your tuna cooked? You know, that type of thing.
See, I go the other way. I will watch the movie first and then go back and read the book because I want to see the visual spectacle of it, and then I want to go back and be able to form my own opinion of what the author was really trying to get across without having the book spoil the movie by saying, oh, man, the movie was so terrible. The book was so much better. I have found if I read the book after – I still find the movie enjoyable for what it was, but then the book is maybe, I guess, still say better, but it's not disparaging against the movie. That the movie was still good, and the book was better. Yeah. Whereas it usually seems like most people are saying, oh, the book was so much better, in such a derogatory way about the movie, that, oh, the movie was just, you know, garbage.
Right. Yeah, no, and I agree. I'm often sad when things don't go the way I think too. Now, another movie that also kind of does a good job of talking about the mix of technology and the world is Ex Machina.
I've seen that. That's a great one.
That is a great movie. I really enjoyed that movie. So,
it goes exactly where I think artificial intelligence will probably go.
Yeah. So. Though I am curious about the crazy hits I get when I type in Ex Machina into Amazon Video. But anyway. What? So. But, yes. And so, that's where we are. We've got these voice assistants, which I like to call virtual assistants, because they are able to do so many things for you to make our lives easier. And right now, I think Amazon's Alexa is the leader in that. I do think Google will continue to make strides because Google is the search engine of the world. And then I think Siri, I think Apple, as part of its competition, is working on making Siri much better as well. So that's going to keep evolving, and there's going to be others out there that come about. I know there are other voice assistants. You talked about SoundHound, and others that have capability doing things. And I think this is a developing story. I think it's going to keep moving forward.
It will. Technology always moves forward, if nothing else.
Yep. All right. You got anything else?
I don't think so. I think that does it for me.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. And we are going to be a lot more intentional about our release dates. We're going to try to release a podcast every 2 weeks. It's going to be a challenge, but we're going to try our best to match up with that schedule.
Wow. Throwing it out there for people to hear, huh?
Now they know. That is how you make things happen. You say them out loud, so now they have they come out as a fully formed idea. And yes, ideas can be modified, but you put it out there. Expectations also. But that is my goal, to come out with our podcast every 2 weeks. And I really appreciate everybody listening. And thank you again for the success we've had so far. And I hope you enjoy and you keep listening, and we keep saying things you want to hear. So that's it. Thanks, and have a great week till the next podcast.
Goodbye.
Bye.
And now, here's your moment of zen.
Computer, play Tune In, the one-off technology podcast.
Getting the latest episode of the one-off technology podcast. Here it is from Tune In.
You've been listening to the One-Off Technology Podcast. This is episode 1 of season 2. Thanks so much, and look out for our next episode in about 2 weeks. Have a great podcast week.